Welcome to First Baptist Church in Riverton, Wyoming. We're so glad you're here.
Matthew 28:19 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And you probably recognize this verse as part of what we commonly call the Great Commission. And with the support of the local church, the Gideons now are actually fulfilling this commission because we're now in 200 different countries, territories, and possessions. Well, one of those countries that we are in has been making news a lot here lately. It's the nation of the Ukraine. And recently, a testimony came out of the nation of Ukraine from a soldier by the name of Karin Zelfimian. Karin had actually received a testament when he was in high school, and he always kept that testament in his left front breast pocket. And he did that not because he ever planned to read the thing, but he thought it was a good luck charm. So he kept that in his left front breast pocket. Shortly after graduation, he gets called into the military, drafted or whatever they do over there. And shortly after he enters the military, his unit and a Russian unit are involved in a firefight. Karin gets shot. That bullet pierces his bulletproof vest, and it embeds, we'll go to the first slide, it embeds in that testament. Now, if you're a Ukrainian speaker, you can probably read what that says. I only know it's a Gideon testament because that emblem in the bottom right-hand corner, but it embeds in that, and it actually saves his life. Next slide. So you can see it just about goes all the way through. And the last one. So anyway, after this happened, Karin realized that God was trying to get his attention, and he needed to start reading this little book. However, he didn't want to read that book. He wanted to keep that for a souvenir. So he asked the chaplain of his unit if he could get a new copy of a Gideon Testament. His squad saw what happened to Karin, so they all asked if they could get a copy of God's Word put in their pocket, and word of what happened to Karin got up the chain of command to the general that actually oversaw this entire area of the conflict, and that general ordered 6,000 scriptures be ordered from the Gideons to be placed in every soldier's pocket under his command. So that's actually the impact of one copy of God's Word. Excuse me. When that conflict got started, the Gideons actually had 2,000 members, Gideon and auxiliary members, along the Polish border. They were sharing God's Word with refugees as they was coming across the border and sharing God's Word with them as well. They had a fantastic reception. There was another 2,000 Gideons in the countries south and east of Poland, Hungary, Romania, Moldova, I think, and I'm missing one down through there. But anyway, they just did have a tremendous reception. Well, the Gideons, actually, we got started back in 1899 as a non-denominational association of Christian business and professional men. And the goal at that point in time, as it is today, is to place God's Word, testaments and Bibles, in the traffic lanes of life. Well, the very first distribution actually took place in 1908. It took them 9 years. It was a fledgling organization, obviously. And in 1908, at the annual convention, which was, we were only in the U.S. at that time, one of the pastors actually at that convention asked if the church could support him. So the funds came from the church to help buy those initial scriptures, and the initial scripture was actually placed up in my neck of the woods in a little town called Superior, Montana, which was a railroad stop. We're talking 1908, modes of transportation back then were the iron horse, the horse and buggy, and basically the horse. So getting scriptures around was more of a challenge than what we think of today. Today, if you ask most people about the Gideons, they're still going to tell you that, yes, they're that organization that places Bibles in the hotels and the motels. And yes, we do still place Bibles in the hotels and the motels. But today, that makes up about 2% of our total scripture distributions. 75% of our distributions go into the hands of today's youth. So that's fifth grade kids through high school and on into your college years. And in fact, up in Montana, I'm from Bozeman, that's home to the Montana State University. Every fall, we go to our local university. This year, we handed out 842. Then we go to the other side of the state and go to the University of Montana Grizzlies, and we only passed out about 842 because I think the difference is because so many of the Grizzlies are still learning how to read over there on that side of the state. There's no competition there. But anyway, scriptures are being passed out here locally as well by your local Gideons and your local auxiliary. In fact, in the past year, you've got a Day in the Park event. There's 160 testaments passed out there. Vacation Bible School, so the Gideons will partner with your local church at Vacation Bible Schools or some other events throughout the year. They passed out 299 at those events because at Vacation Bible Schools, quite often there's non-Christian kids that are invited to attend that as well. So it's a great opportunity to do that. They hit the hotels and the motels, basically from Thermopolis to Lander to Dubois. So in this entire region, your local Gideons are the ones placing Bibles in those hotels. And also at your local college, they'll go up and do a distribution at the college. And the auxiliary go up there for the nurses' pinning at graduation every year. They do a distribution there, and they hit all of the medical offices around as well. Doctor's offices, dentist offices, medical offices, and so forth. In fact, from my hometown of Bozeman, we have a testimony that came out of there recently. Excuse me, I'm kind of fighting the throat thing. Anyway, it came from the local jail, and it came during COVID. So during COVID, we went to the local jails, and we couldn't get in because of COVID. So anyway, we just handed out like our case or two of scriptures to the detention staff. And so we asked them to pass out scriptures as inmates were invited in, not invited in, they were placed in, I'll say. I heard the food's not good, so you probably don't want to get invited in. Anyway, as they were placed in there, they handed out scriptures. And a young man by the name of Jeron actually picked up one of those. Jeron wrote his testimony back to the Gideons. He grew up in Billings, Montana. By the time he was 4 years old, both of his parents were incarcerated in prison. So between age 5 and age 12, his mom got out of prison two different times. Both times she ended up having a child. Both times she got sent back to prison. And by the age of 12, Jeron and two of his siblings were living with his grandmother as a home, and that forced Grandma to work quite a bit. So Grandma ended up having to work, so that allowed Jeron to go out, and he ended up getting in trouble. So he got into drugs, he got into forgery, basically you name it, and he was involved in it. So between age 18, he was actually incarcerated four of those 5 years in two different youth detention centers in Montana. Age of 18, he gets out, didn't change his ways, but he escaped the authorities until age 31, and he gets caught. He gets placed in the Bozeman Detention Center, excuse me, and he ends up getting his little testament as he is admitted. Well, he didn't really start reading through that until a few months into his stay when he gets invited to go to a Bible study, and he didn't really plan to read the scripture. He just wanted to get out of his jail cell. But he goes to that Bible study, and he's asked to read John chapter 10, verse 1. And that reads, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs up some other way, that man is a thief and a robber." And he realized that he, in fact, was a thief and a robber. And if he did not change his ways, then he, in fact, was going to be living a life in jail. So he ended up changing his life. He now states in his testimony back to the Gideons, he states that he has come to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He can quote quite a bit of scripture, and he has led at least one other individual in jail. to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I wrote it." The one copy of God's word in the hand of the right person makes an eternal difference. Well, I mentioned the Gideons got started in 1899, but it was actually in 1898, two business travelers came together in Wisconsin during a snowstorm. It was at a hotel. The hotel got overbooked, so they ended up having to share a room. And it didn't take too long for these guys to realize that they both were Christians, and they both had a desire to start an evangelical ministry of some kind. So they decided, well, they're going to meet again in a year, try to drum up some new membership, and find out at that point in time what type of a ministry they really had on their heart to start. So in 1899, they get together. Their membership had actually gone up by 50%, which is one. So they had three members at that time, and they decided to call the organization the Gideons. So why would you name your organization or your child the Gideons? Well, Gideon is a perfect example of taking ordinary men and women and through God's power having them do extraordinary things. And in fact, you'll find examples of that throughout Scripture. You look at who Jesus used for his disciples. He's got fishermen. He's got tent makers. These are not the leaders of the day, but they are men God had intended to use. Look at Moses. Moses couldn't even talk. He had to have his brother Aaron come and do the talking on his behalf. Moses was a very reluctant servant, but a very powerful servant with God's help. So today I'm going to start reading through basically Judges chapter 6, which is the story of Gideon. I'm going to start in verse 11 and just give you a little insight of how God uses ordinary men and women. So starting at verse 6, so Israel was greatly, starting at verse 11, now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him, this ordinary guy, and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So he said to him, "O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." So the angel of the Lord speaks to Gideon, appears to Gideon, speaks to Gideon, and just like a lot of us, the Lord will guide us and direct us, but sometimes we're a little hesitant to think that maybe that is the Lord directing our lives. Well, here's the angel appears to him, speaks to him, but is he convinced yet? He still wants a little bit more assurance. So anyway, he goes to sleep that night. Well, prior to going to sleep that night, he asks the Lord, if is really you, please make this fleece of wool wet and the ground will be dry in the morning. So he wakes up in the morning, the ground is dry, he takes that fleece outside and he wrings water out of it. So obviously the Lord is with him. Convinced? Not quite yet. So that night he asked the Lord, "Okay, now tonight, make it dew on the ground and the fleece will be dry." And Sure enough, the next morning he wakes up, fleece is dry, and the ground is wet. So obviously then, it is God commanding him and guiding him. So then the Lord asks Gideon to go up against the Midianites to defeat their army. Well, Midianites had around 132,000 men. Israel had around 135,000. The Israel army had 32,000. But an army of 32,000, God said, if you go up in 32,000 men, you might think that it is your strength and not my strength. So he has them, Gideon, tell them, if your men are fearful or afraid, then just have them go home. So that pared his army down to 12,000, 20,000 guys left, down to 12,000, then invites them down to drink out of a stream, and whichever ones get down on hands and knees to drink, they're to go home as well, and those who pick water up and lap it up and bring it to their mouth, those are the ones I want to go down and fight the Midianites. That pared his army down to 300 men. So when you've got an army of 300 men, and you're bound to go after an army of 135,000 men, you better have the Lord on your side, and that's exactly what happened. Is that night, they go down there, confuse the Midianites completely, and the Midianites start fighting among themselves and are completely taken over by, or not, they're completely destroyed, actually, by the Israelites. So we don't necessarily feel a lot of times like we ourselves have the strength, the courage to go out and do some of these things, but we also know that the Lord is with us when we go and read this and accomplish this. In fact, if you read through the Beatitudes, you'll see the Lord often uses the meek. In Matthew 5:5, it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It's not necessarily the strong leaders. It's not necessarily the bold. However, the Lord will often, on occasion, also use those that have a little bit, maybe they got a little bit of troublemaker in their system. And one of those wrote half the New Testament, didn't he? That was the Apostle Paul. He used to come against the Christians. In fact, he was responsible for killing many of the Christians and imprisoning many of the Christians. Another example comes from a guy by the name of Craig Groeschel. Craig was a college student. He was causing enough problems on campus that the administration was actually going to potentially boot him out of college. So Craig knew that he had to do something to impress the administration so he could actually stay in school. Well, one thing he thought he could do to impress the administration was start a Bible study on campus. Well, the fact that he didn't know anything about the Bible, he didn't even own a Bible, didn't really slow him down. His goal was to stay in school. So he and a buddy print up a bunch of brochures about a Bible study, place them all over campus. So the date is set and the Bible study is on. Well, the day of this Bible study finally arrives, and Craig is sitting in a class realizing he doesn't have a clue what he's going to do that night. So after that class is over, he rushes back over to the fraternity that he stays at, hoping that maybe he could find somebody else there with a Bible that he could borrow. Well, on his way over, he runs into this old guy wearing a suit and a tie on campus, and he hands him a little green testament, just like this one right here. So Craig, he takes that, he runs over to his fraternity, and in the front of these testaments, which are assigned or designed for students, the front of it has helps in the time of need, helps with some of life problems. And underneath each of those needs or problems is a whole litany of emotions that we all go through. For example, under help in crisis, abortion, abused, addicted, underneath each of those are scripture verses and then the page number that relates to those scriptures. So you don't need to know anything about scripture in order to use these. Well, that is what Craig ended up using for his Bible study that evening. And matter of fact, he ended up reading a Bible verse. It was actually Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. And I usually pull that up and read it off my phone, and there's a reason for doing that. I didn't have my phone ready. The scripture he read that changed his life was Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Now, I actually read that off what is called the YouVersion Bible app. If you have a Bible app, most likely that's the one you have, because this is the most widely distributed Bible app in the world. It's had over 750 million downloads, and it was developed by a team led by Craig Groeschel, who came to know Jesus Christ through a little green Gideon Testament on a campus. So, a lot of these testaments, probably, or testimonies, I should say, probably would not exist if it wasn't for the local church. So it's through the support of the local church, really, that our ministry even is made possible. So the support, to help to support the Gideons, first and foremost, we do need prayer. A lot of these venues we try to get into anymore, hotels and motels, schools are building their campuses where buses and parking is on campus. We can't legally get in there. Just pray for open doors for a lot of the venues that we get into anymore, if you would. Secondly, John 4:35 says, "Fields are white under the harvest." And if you are a business or professional man, as who the Gideons are, and you feel like maybe you want to take part in reaping the harvest right here in your own community, I'd have you talk with Brother Ron or Ozzie about maybe helping out with some of those distributions here locally. And lastly, if Gideon members, we do support the ministry, but also a lot of the funds do come from the local church. First and foremost, your offer, your tithes go to the local church. But if you feel led to give an offering to the Gideons, I think there's a bulletin that was passed out. There's an envelope that's self-addressed. You can mail that in at a later date, or I think there might be a couple baskets in the back. But today you have that opportunity to continue to make the Word of God available to men, women, and children around the world, that they'd have that same opportunity that we all have here. I think lunch just came a little early. Thank you very much.